Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, my Blog Talk listeners out there. This is Chocolate Lady. And we are about, what, 7-8 days away from Christmas. I hope everyone has gotten all your Christmas shopping out of the way. And if you haven't, you only have a couple more days to get it done. And I'm hoping during this time that you're having a great time with family and friends and getting to see people you haven't seen in years. You know, this is the holidays that makes families get closer. Or allow families to get closer. I want to thank, I think it was Mr. Kant that sent me an email giving me a heads up, and I thank you for that if you're out there listening or if you're listening again to my show when I'm not on air. Well, it's cold here in Louisiana. Well, it's cold here in the area where I'm at, and it's rainy. But I can still find sunshine, and everything that I do, I try to. If I don't, I have to keep my head up when things are going down. And it's not just the holidays, it's an everyday struggle to make sure I'm keeping my head up when I want to, you know, scream sometimes. I'm hoping that my previous shows, everyone has enjoyed listening to them, and I really do hope you guys eventually get something out of the shows. Every show that I do is not always perfect, but I try my best to do what I can. And like I said, I'm still doing this. It's going close to a year now, and I'm learning more and more how I can do things to make my shows better. You hear my paper rustling because I'm trying to get everything situated. This is Chocolate Lady, if I hadn't told you, Chocolate Lady 64. And I'm here tonight, and we're going to talk about bosses and supervisors. I know we could be talking about something more cheerful, but I was thinking this was a very interesting subject, simply because it is that time of the year where we should be nicer and we should try to do things differently or prepare ourselves for the new year if we're in a job where we know we're going to stay. So I would just like to get your opinion of how do you feel about your boss. If you need to call in, my call-in number is 347-677-1749. Let me repeat that, 347-677-1749. As you know, next week will be Christmas Eve, and I'll be doing a show for Christmas Eve, but after that, I'm hopefully will be out of town that next week. So I haven't really decided whether I should pre-record that show for the week after, but I'm going to look into pre-recording it so that I can already have it set up, just in case I am out of town and I can't get to the things I need to get to do my show. And all I have to do is dial in and you guys can listen to it. Last week, as you know, we talked about, let me think what I talked about. Oh, I interviewed my good friend, Ms. Asmore, and we were talking about relationships and dating outside our race and how important it is for us to love people regardless of who they are and how they are. How we women, African-American women, have to be more secure about who we are, because sometimes we struggle with that. Whether you're beautiful or not, you still struggle with it a little bit. And I won't say not if people don't find you as attractive as some people would find you, because I don't think of myself as a beauty queen. I think I'm attractive to a certain extent, but it doesn't go from the outside of me. It's how I am within me, inside. Okay. We're going to talk about what type of boss are you. Are you a good boss or are you a bad boss? We're going to cover the following points. Number one is, do your employees dread coming to work? Number two is going to be, do you think your employee problems are your problems? Number three, how can you get the most out of your employees? Number four is, what do you consider an open door policy when it comes to you and then when it comes to your employee? Now, are you the problem instead of the solution to your team or your department's dilemma? We're going to talk about that. Those are the five points I want to, or five questions that I would like to answer or explain to you as we go. Let's define the word boss or supervisor. According to the Webster's Dictionary, number 2, New Riverside University, it says, a supervisor or boss is one who makes decisions or exercises authority. The act of supervising or control, to give order in an arrogant or dominating way. We know that's not always true, but that was the definition they came up with. Okay? Now, first thing we're going to talk about, we're going to break down what type of boss are you. Let's talk about, first of all, a good boss. What is a good boss? Could a good boss always have a good rapport with all of his or her employees? Make sure they are approachable, not only to your customers, but also to your employees. Because sometimes we find ourselves being so sweet to the customers, but we're mean and hateful and disrespectful to our employees. Okay, a good boss will be ready to take and accept constructive criticism and also give constructive criticism to his employees. They'll be able to provide all the tools that an employee will need to be familiar with their job. They will be familiar with each and every one of their employees, know something about them, if nothing else. Even if you're in a large corporation, it's not hard to take time out to know your employees. It's not hard. No matter how busy you are or how important you think you are, it sometimes helps to have that feeling that you're employee can come to you and talk to you. Make sure you're familiar with the jobs that your employees do, okay? That goes for big corporations and also for small departments, because most time when a department is put together, it's put together with different types of jobs. So it's good to be sort of familiar, not knowing but having full knowledge of each position, but at least be familiar with something that person does. You have to give that employee a reason to come to you if they did have a problem. And if something was to happen, you can relate to it because you already found out what that person does. So keep that in mind. Always know that you have to set an example. So a good boss sets good examples on how we treat others and how we treat our customers. A good boss will keep his employees motivated. It's not to make them happy, because that employee has to be happy on his own. So what you have to do is you bring out the motivation, you bring out the potential in each and every one of your employees. As a good boss, that's what you do. You let them know that they're an individual. You make them feel like they're an individual, and each one of them brings unique perspectives to the job that makes them come together and be a team, is because of each and every one of them have a different way of dealing with the job or coming to the job or bringing something to the job. That's a good boss. A good boss will notice that. And a good boss listens to his employees. Even though sometimes the employee is not always right, but sometimes they are right, so it's good to listen either way. always be an active listener, and that's what a good employee, excuse me, a good boss or supervisor is, a good listener. Okay, now those are the positive things about a good boss, about a boss. Let's talk about the bad things about a boss. A boss that has no clue on what his job is. And let's get back to the top. I didn't mention that in the good boss section. And the good boss, a good boss knows what his job is, and he does it very well. And if he doesn't know, he's going to learn it. So that when he has to teach someone else, then he can do it without any doubt or hesitation. A bad boss doesn't know his job, and he's not caring about your job. He abuses his authority. He never listens to his employees. Has a very nasty disposition, not approachable, not only by the employees, but by the customers that are having problems at that time. Always looks for the bottom line, no matter what it takes to get there. A bad boss can have good communication skills, but terrible people skills. Can be very biased and one-sided. A bad boss can create disharmony and division among his employees, playing one against the other, not being up front with everybody at the same time, going behind each other. One employee goes to him about something, and he goes and he believes one side of the story and not get both sides and be open-minded on both sides to find out what happened and be neutral in a situation that may take place. Not knowledgeable about any of his employees' positions or jobs or job descriptions. Employees don't get the needed training because of lack of not having the tools and resources to get the proper training so that they can either be promotable or just learn more about their job. And that's recurring training that we need. Okay. Let's see. That's one way we can look at it. Let's see. What's number two? We talked about the good and bad boss. So all together, we say a good and a bad boss is something that we need to look at when we're talking about being a boss. We need to look at our attributes, our personality, and how we see things opposed to how people see us. We have to look in the mirror first. I call myself a boss. What type of boss do I think I can be? I think I can be me, myself, a fair boss. I don't have a problem with being fair. And to me, that's a problem a lot of bosses have. Oh, I can't be fair. Yes, you can, because that's something that you already know you can do. You don't have to learn that. Open your heart, you can be fair. I can be a fair boss. I can listen to both sides. And being an active listener helps out a lot. So if you do have an employee that's not being, the way you want to, you can sit down and find out what's wrong with that employee. Nothing's wrong with that. Let him talk to you. Let him talk to his glue in the face. Maybe that's what he needs to do. But he has to have your trust to know that you'll keep what he's telling you or her, what she's telling you. You have to have that. I can't, as a boss, sit there and talk to my employee. My employee tells me what's going on with him and why he's doing this and why. And then I go back and discuss it in a meeting with other supervisors or bosses. I don't think that's fair to them because then I've already broke my trust. So if I come to him, if he comes to me and he tells me he has a problem, and then I go and sit up in a meeting and discuss it with him, and that supervisor goes to his section and tells his section, what was said in the meeting, then to me that defeats the whole purpose. He can never trust me. Not only can he trust me, no, none of my employees can trust me. And we don't want to be in that position as a good boss. I think because I have an understanding ear, and I think I can be very, very fair to people, that I don't have a problem with supervising people. And I don't have a problem with learning what they do. Some bosses think it's beneath them to know what their employees do, and I just don't. I don't need to know your whole job and everything, but I need to have a gist of what you do. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some situations, they say that you don't have to know what your employees do. I think it's very important that I do, because then I can relate. If there's a problem, I don't have a problem with them coming to me and telling me, yeah, I saw that when you were doing this. I can say that. So let me look into getting you some help on that. I can't tell you I'm going to get you some help on something I'm not familiar with. You know, because you could be telling me that and you really don't have a problem. But how would I know if I'm not familiar with what you do? So I think it's very important for us to be familiar with what our employees do. And I hope I never get labeled a bad boss, no matter what I do. I hope I never get labeled a bad boss, if I even have any employees. Because I could be the only, you know, I could be the business owner and the worker. But I think if I can treat myself fairly and I can treat other people fairly, I don't have a problem with that. So I think I would be a great boss because I'm so eager to learn. I'm not arrogant. I'm not cocky. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. So it would be a problem for me to sit down and listen and learn from other people because I love to learn things. As you know, and I've said it several times, that I love to learn stuff. Okay. Now, let's talk about the points we want to make here. The five questions that we asked, that I mentioned to you earlier in the beginning of the show. The first one was, do your employees dread coming to work? That was the first thing. Now, everybody can't look at their employees when they come through the door, you know, but you can tell if you go down on the floor or, you know, go through your office, walk down the hallway where all your employees are. Excuse me. Where all your employees are. And just kind of look at them. You know, if it doesn't take you nothing but 5 or 10 minutes out your morning, just go and look at them. Look at their expressions on their face. When they see you walk in, do they eagerly want to say, hello, sir, hello, ma'am, how are you, how was your day? You want to be approachable, not unapproachable. So I think it's very important that we have that rapport with our employees. If we have nothing else, at least speak in the morning to them. Do you know how your employee is reacting to his job? If you go in there and he's just sitting there, his head down, he could be having a hangover, but or else he could be stressed out. But how would you know? Because guess what? You don't talk to him, so you wouldn't know. You don't talk to her, so you wouldn't know what she's going through or how things are with her. Walk up to him. Hey, Johnny, how are you today? Okay. If you have any problems with that assignment I gave you, please feel free to come by my office and talk to me. We can discuss it and see if we can find another way to answer it. Or, you know, the deadline on the report is coming up. If you need any help, let me know. I can get you the help. You know, those kind of things. Find out what's going on. Now, when you do that, then you'll find out about his job performance. Is he working up to his full potential, and what can you do to get him there? If there's any way that you can get him to where you want him to be to get the most out of him, then you need to be working on that. You need to be taking time out to work on that. How do you solve this? First, we need to find out the problem, like I said. Then take the time to assist in the solution. Why is the employee not feeling motivated? Why? It could be a personal problem. And that goes back to what I said earlier. Let the employee come in. You know, we have such a busy schedule, and everything's got to be 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. But sometimes we need to unloosen that tie, shake down our hair, and sit back with our employee and let him be familiar with you. He doesn't have to be, you know, buddy-buddy with him, but let him be familiar with you. Let him know that he can come to you in confidence and talk to you. So when you do that, you have to understand, an employee's psyche and his mental being has to match with his physical being and his emotional being. And that's our job to a certain extent to make sure that he's comfortable with what he does. He enjoys his job. It's not always about the bottom line. I know I might sound like, you know, I want to run through a field of roses with my employees. No, I want my employees to be comfortable. I want them to be confident. I want them to know their job. And I want them to teach me, if they can, what they know. Not everything, but enough so if they do, like I said before, have a problem, I can assist with them in that problem or get them the right resources to solve that problem. Excuse me. And that's why, too, it's good to have somebody who can assist you with that. Sometimes we, as the boss, we always have an assistant boss. And sometimes assistant boss don't have the skills to handle the employees. And I don't want to say handle, I mean cope with the employees or help with the employees, whatever. But you know what I'm saying, when it comes to helping them and getting them where they need to be, maybe they need some training with that. Because sometimes I just realize that some people are not supervisory material. And because you got the position, you know, don't let it go right there. Learn more about what you're doing so you can be productive. Don't be so selfish when it comes to being promoted. Take time out and learn more about other people. And don't get so high and mighty, because I always believe this: if he puts you up there, he can take you down. So keep that in mind when you get in these positions. Don't forget about the little man, quote unquote. Because they're still needed to be helped and lifted up. And sometimes we do forget about them. Okay, as a boss, it's your responsibility to make sure that your employees are at their full potential in all aspects of their jobs. That means that on your part, sitting down with the employee to find out what's going on can be a good point. If it calls for a motivation speaker, to make sure you have the funds set aside to invite one out or to book one, and get your employees up and moving around and getting them in a different atmosphere and getting them in a different way of thinking when it comes to their potential and the productivity that you're expecting out of them. Okay, number two, do you think your employee problems are your problems? To a certain point, they are. Because, again, an employee is having problems, then you already know you're not getting your full potential. You're not getting the full performance out of them. Again, it's up to you to sit down and do a face-to-face talk with them. And you might can accomplish a lot, and you can might move on and get this employee rolling again and getting them on the right track. Because sometimes we do get off track and distracted sometimes, okay? Now, number three, how to get the most out of your employee. Now, first, you make sure that all your employees are very familiar with their responsibilities and duties, i.e. the job descriptions and knowing what they have to do on a daily basis. You probably make sure they're properly trained. You give them a sense that they are part of a team and that what they do, their job, is very, very important. If you can make them feel like their job is just as important as yours because they make you shine, then that would help out a lot. Treat the employee. Let the employee know that their contributions is just as important as the next person. Make sure you can recognize the difference of each of your employees can bring to the table that makes the company or the department stand out. Reward them according to the effort to work together as a team player. Allow them to show off their talents when it comes to their job. Be an active listener. I keep pushing that because it's very important. That allows your employees to be able to be comfortable and not intimidated by you or your position. So those things are very important. Number four, what do you consider an open door policy means to you and to your employee? What do you want it to mean to your employee? Now, an open door policy for you as the boss should be one or the two of the two things: an opportunity to know. Excuse me, an opportunity to know what is going on in your office or your department and how your employees are performing. Making the employee feel confident enough to talk to you without feeling intimidated. It's also called, it can also mean that you have the opportunity to become an active listener. And again, I know you keep hearing me say that. It's very, very important that we do become active listeners. Fix any problems that may be out there, or at least be aware of any problems, period. Let them come to you and tell you that, you know, hey, look, the stapler's been broke for weeks. We've been telling people. We've been turning in. No one has paid attention to us. We need our stapler, because we have a lot of booklets or whatever to put together. We have papers to staple together to put in the folders or whatever. Let them be able to come to you and say, hey, we haven't got this resolved yet. Can you help us out? Me as a boss, say, hey, tell me who you talked to. You remember the last person you talked to? When was it that you talked to them? Okay, give me their names. Let me get a hold to them and let me get this situated so that you guys can continue doing your job. Or let me fix this for you so that you guys can continue doing your job. Because you want them to be productive. You want them to have the tools and resources to make sure that they can do their job at their highest potential. Your employee wants to be assured that you are approachable and that you will at least take time out to listen. Whether you agree with what they're saying or not, will you listen? Will you at least listen to us? And we know that with you being that type of boss, that you can say, okay, I'm listening. What you going to do now? Now that you've told me all of this, what are you going to do to fix this? Now that you told me that you're having problems, and I'm glad that you did, now what do I need to do to fix this for you? Or can I help you in any way to fix this? It's up to us to volunteer our time and our effort to put all we can in our employees if we want all. And I always say this, and this has always been my philosophy. As a boss, if you give me 110%, I have to give you 110% back. So that's why I like the ideal that I take that anywhere I go. And I'm going to continue to say that because I really do think it's very important that we give our full potential to our, give our full attention to our employees at all times. It is really hard at times, but I think if we make effort to put aside our pride, pull aside our superiority, and just come down every now and then and talk to our, and talk to our employees. There's nothing wrong with that. And I know some big corporations can't do that, and I really understand that. I understand that they can't sit down and have a long conversation, you know, but I think he should take at least, if he can't do anything, at least take a walk at least once a month or twice a month. Sorry about that. At least twice a month, sit down and get a chance to talk to our people, our employees. Walk through your building, see where they're at. Hey, how are you doing, John? How's things going with you? How's your family? You know. Tell them, you know, let them know that you do care, because some people never see their bosses. You know, they never know. They just know him by name. And I think that's so informal. And I don't think that's too cool when you got stuff going on in your department and you're sitting around and you wonder why your numbers are down and why progress is not being made. Because you're sitting in your big, pretty office up there looking down on everybody, but you're not looking at each and every one of your employees and finding out what's going on with them. Oh, yeah, I got somebody to do that for me. But if that person don't know how to handle it, they're not going to come to you and tell you that you're having problems, that they're having problems with communicating with that employee. So you should have communication skills enough to go and talk to that employee or employees. You know, group them together and talk to them. Ask them to tell them, telling you their problems. Ask them to let you know if they're feeling comfortable in what they're doing and is there anything that you can do to change things for them. Give them that leeway. You'd be surprised at the progress when you make a person feel that they belong and that they're part of something, and they make the difference. You have to let them know that they make the difference. And, you know, we do this, give that feel-good feeling, but we don't keep it up. You see, that's the bad thing about it is because we don't keep that feel-good feeling up. We do it just enough, and then it's done. You don't hear anything else about the feel-good feeling anymore for several months until numbers start going down. When the numbers start going down, oh, it's time to motivate them again. No, you need to have them at a point where they can be motivated at all times. When they come in the door, hey, I really like my job. And people, you know, kind of threaten you, even though you don't like, you better be glad you got one. No, because you can work for years and be so miserable, and it starts to peel over and spill over into your personal life where you're never happy on either end, and that's not healthy. That's why we have people that have diabetes, depression, stress, heart attacks, high cholesterol. That has a lot to do with your personal life and your work life combining after you haven't paid attention and gotten the help, or you haven't, you don't have anybody to seek the help from. So it's good that you get that help. You make things happen for your employees so that you won't have that. If you have a build, say you just start out, get a fitness center in your building. You know, get a couple of exercise equipment down in your basement if you have a building with a basement. Just something where they can go blow off some steam if they need to. You know, offer them health club memberships if you don't have one. You know, if we get this many goals this year, then this is what we want to do. We're giving out health club memberships. You know? Anything to keep them motivated, you know. Not saying that you have to baby-fy everybody that comes through there, but you give them incentives to keep working and be productive. It's up to you because it's your business. It's the reason why you're where you're at. Your employees make you shine. Your employees make it happen. You know, you build a business, but in order to maintain the business, you need employees. Okay? Now, are you the problem instead of the solution to your department or company? You the boss? Because I feel like this. Your employee is no more than what you are. Now, if you have a lackluster employee, not to say, let me say this, not to blame you for him being lackluster, but I'm blaming you because you know he's lackluster and you never did anything to fix it. Now, if you have an employee that you can't help or refuse to get help, and maybe, I'm not saying throw him to the crows or to the cows, but you might need to find another way to deal with him or, you know, how do you say that? Send him somewhere else. You know, where he might, you know, hey, maybe he'll feel better in somewhere in another department. I'm not saying throw him away, but get him somewhere. Ask him what he wants. If he doesn't know what he wants, well, tell him, hey, this is what I'm going to do for you. If you can show me that you can do this for a certain limited time, you know, put him on a plan. In the next 90 days, you're going to work with this department, and they will be reporting back to me how you're doing. And if you can do that, but just don't throw him away, because we are so easy to do that, eager to get rid of somebody. You know, if it's a person that comes to work, do what he's supposed to do, but he's not happy in what he does, it is your job as the employee to see that he is getting the help or working to his potential. That is your job. Whether you want to admit it or not, that's your job. If your employee and staff cannot communicate with you, then how can you function as a whole team and stay productive? As the boss, you are the first and the foremost example-setting person for your employees, like I said before. And I also said that employees' potential ends where your potential begins. Now, I say this because you have to have the potential to be a good boss. In order for you to have the potential to be a good boss, that potential has to move and drip, swell up, and float and fall on each and every one of your employees in order for you to get good production out of them. That is very important for you. It's important for your company. It's important for your reputation. And it's important for your employees. Okay? Now, if your sales are down, your employees are unhappy, and you are unapproachable, arrogant, prideful, then you're off to a bad start with your business. Again, if it's all about the bottom line, and me as your employee, I can't come talk to you about a situation that's dealing with a customer. Oh, don't worry about it. Just tell them, give them back their money. No. I got all this work to do. Look at my desk. Don't you think I got enough problems? No, that is not the answer. What do you want now? Or when they walk in your door, they knock on your door, you tell them to come in, and you have that look like, oh, gosh, here they come again. You have to set a good example. Your employees should be able to approach you anytime. Not just only sitting behind your big, beautiful desk. They should be able to approach you in the hallway. Okay? Not to say that they're going to actually walk up to you and say, hey, boss, look, I need this. They're not going to do that because you've already got them intimidated by you. You know, they have secretaries. Get with their assistants. Tell them you would like to set up an appointment to meet with you. Make sure you make yourself available for your employees. Quit being so busy doing absolutely nothing, okay? I know meetings are very important because they have very good information that you need to either give out or you have to receive, but make time. Make time, like I said, with the open door policy. Make time for your employees. Listen to them. Let them know that you care. It's very important to them that you care about what they do. You know, we're like, even though we try to be big and bad and, you know, we want to get that pat in the back. We like that pat on the back every now and then. We like to know that we're doing a good job. We like to know that we're contributing to this company. We like to see that our reputation, not just your reputation as the boss, but our reputation as a company, is being viewed and seen very positive. And it all goes down to your workers. You have to at least attempt to make them satisfied. I don't want to say happy, because that individual has to be happy on their own, but make them satisfied that they love working for you. They get up every morning looking forward to working for you. You know, you want that. You want them to know, oh, gosh, here I go. I got to go to work today. I dread getting up to go to work. You don't want to hear that, because some employees, if they've already got a negative disposition, your job is to switch that negative and put it into a positive by asking them, by keeping them informed on what's going on. Let them know, you know, it's not always, well, the sale's up this day and we need to do this. No, you need to listen to their problems every now and then to find out what they're missing. Because believe it or not, lots of times they are missing something. But you have made yourself so unapproachable that they can't come to you and tell you. But every time you do talk to them, it's about the numbers. It's about the money. It's about what we're not doing. Let's talk about what I am doing. What am I doing to make you look good? What am I doing? Am I producing? And what I'm producing, is it what you want me to produce? You know, those kind of things are very, very important when it comes to an employee and a supervisor's relationship. Yes, the employee is having problems, and you think that extra training should be available to them, get somebody who is very good at training. Get somebody who knows the job that that certain individual does. So that when they do get the training, they're getting good training. That they know what they're doing, that things are going to be different. And, you know, all of that, you know, plays into how important it is for you to have productive employees. Those words go together. Production, employees, sales, reputation, team building, all of those go together, and they're very, very important. I'm going to go back over these, summarize these a little bit. We discussed tonight, we talked about what type of boss you are. Could you be a bad boss, a good boss? A good boss is a boss who's an active listener. A bad boss is unapproachable. A bad boss, arrogant, cocky. A good boss listens. A good boss makes sure that their employees have all they need, resources and tools to learn their job if they don't know it, to refresher, accommodate them with refresher courses on their job or their duties and responsibilities. Then we broke them down to five different questions, and we talked about the first one was, let's see, let me make sure I'm doing this, saying it the way that I want to. Do your employees dread coming to work? You have employees that love coming to work, enjoy what they do, and how do you know they do? You don't know unless you talk to them, look at their expressions, look them straight in the face and tell them what's going on. If there are problems, be able to help them in solving the problems the best way you know how. Get them the help. Number two was, do you think your employees' problems are yours? And I said, to a certain extent, they are your problems. Simply because if your employee is not happy or unproductive, then you're not going to get the full potential out of him. So, yeah, to a certain extent, yes, their problems are your problems. Okay. The next is, how do you get the most out of your employees? What do you do to get the most out of your employees? You can invite a motivated speaker to come in, tell an employee how important their part of being part of the team is and how their little part, I mean, when I say little, because if you're in a big company, say the mailman, the mail clerk, you know, he might have a job that to some people that's low on the totem pole, but if the mail doesn't get delivered in time or to the right people, guess what? A lot of information is being missed. a lot of money is not being made. So that's why it's very important to let them know how important they are and what you can do to make it better, and that's getting the most out of your employees. Then we discussed, I keep getting my paper all messed up, I apologize for that. Here it goes. Then number four says, what do you consider an open door policy, what it means to you and what it means to your employee? It means that the employee can come in there and know with full confidence that they can come talk to you about any problems that they're having with either the job, a coworker, or whatever. They should be able to come talk to you. They should not hear it being repeated unless it's being repeated to them by you. That's the only other person that needs to hear it, you and that person. And you should not need to take it any further unless it's to the point where you need to. But you truly need to get permission from that employee before you make that decision to take it somewhere else, because the employee probably doesn't want you to do that. And that's giving that employee the respect that is due, because I'm quite sure you would want the same to happen to you. Then lastly, we talked about are you the problem at your company instead of, in other words, are you the person who's holding up your company from working, from being productive, or being where it's supposed to be? That was number five. I reworded it by the way I said it, but it's basically the same thing. Are you your company or department's problem instead of, are you the hindrance to its growth in production as a boss? Being unapproachable, being negative, arrogant, cocky, employees can't talk to you, some of the other bosses can't talk to you, you know, you're the bottom line man and that's all that matters and you don't care the in-between. Well, when you're that way, yeah, you become the problem, very much so. And you need to fix that. You need to do some revamping on yourself. You need to do some inventory on who you are. You need to start with the man in the mirror, like they say. Start with the person in the mirror, see what's going on with you. Fix your problem first before you can fix. But you have to understand, with you fixing your problem, it's a timeline, it's a deadline. Because you know what? The money has to flow. Things have to continue to move on. And you have to speed up your whatever you need to fix on yourself in order for you to move on. You have to stop being set in your ways, be more open-minded, listen to other people's ideals so that your company can move and make things happen for you. And keep money in your pocket and keep money flowing through your company so that you can have happy employees and you can give out bonuses and you can treat them like they need to be treated. All of this connects like a chain link fence. Everything connects, and it's for your benefit that you become a great boss. You become the person that everybody and it's not about everybody liking you. It's everybody being able to approach you and talk to you. Well, you know what? I might not really like him, but he is fair, you know. And I guess it's always going to be a big thing for me, being fair. Be fair. What is the purpose? Why is it so hard to be fair? Why is it so easy to be mean and hateful and opposed to being fair to people, giving people what they need when they need it, you know? A person is going to lie to you when they don't feel comfortable with you, and you don't want that. And if you lie to your employees and you play one against the other and you're being manipulative as much as you can, or you're playing favoritism, that is so bad for a company, for a department, for a team. That is so bad when the head person is playing games. Life is too short for me to be stressed out at work and then bring my stress home. It's not fair to my family. It's not fair to my friends. It's not fair to my dogs to be mean when I don't have to be, to be unhappy when I don't have to be. And I have to say to myself as the employee that you need to make a change. If you're that unhappy and you've dealt with it, you need to make a change. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go and talk to your boss and say, boss, this is what's going on. I want to see if I can do this, 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 so that I can make things better for me. And I think that's very important that we do that. Because it is your responsibility as the employee. Yeah, the boss has a lot of responsibilities, but it's also your responsibility to make sure that you're getting everything you need to make sure that you're doing your job. And I'm going to end on that note, that I hope and pray that anybody who's listening to my show right now, if you're not listening right now, when you do go back to listen to the show, that you find what type of boss you are. And can you change if you're not that good boss? Can you make the step to make things better for you and your employees? Can the light be turned on and things change for your whole team, for your department? You know, don't allow them to fake getting along. You know, make it happen. And it starts with you. Just like with children, I always say children are the reflection of their parents to a certain extent. If what they see at home happens, they go to school, when they go in the public, they act the exact same way. If they know mom and dad argues and cuss all the time, guess what? When they get upset and mad, what are they going to do? They're going to argue and they're going to cuss because that's what mom and dad has showed them. Employees are the same way. If you have a raggedy boss, guess what? You're going to have raggedy employees in every aspect. It is up to you. And sometimes we have these bosses that dress in these silk ties and these Italian suits and still are raggedy when it comes to being a boss, when it comes to being a person, and when it comes to their employees. So don't think the outside is such a great thing, okay? It's the inside and what you know inside your heart and your head, the knowledge that you learn to be a better person, be able to deal with your customers, to deal with your employees, and to deal with yourself. So a boss has a big job, but each employee is responsible for their own self, but they're responsible to a certain extent because they only have so much authority. So you allow them to step up and work at their full potential. If there's a possibility that they can be moved around, allow them to be moved around. Give them a reason to keep moving on. Give them a reason to keep showing you that they can do the best they can. It is up to you. I'm going to close my show a little early tonight because I'm in the middle of making my Saints pillows. Go, Saints! So I have an order of Saints pillows I make, and I got some to make tonight. So I'm going to close out my show and get back to work, get on my sewing machine, and get to making these pillows so I can get the order out. See, I'm my own boss right now, because it's something I do in my spare time. I'm my own boss, so I don't have any employees. I'm my own employee, so I have to motivate myself to make sure I get everything I need to get done. I'm hoping you guys have a great night. I'm going to say Merry Christmas now, and I will be saying Merry Christmas next week on New Year's Eve. I'll be on air New Year's Eve also. I won't stay on long because I know everybody wants to enjoy their evening. And I'm thinking that next Thursday and I said it earlier in the show, I'm not for sure if I'm going to be on air that Thursday. I might have to pre-record my show because I'm thinking I'll be on the road to Round Rock, Texas, where I go every year to celebrate New Year's Eve with my best friend. Miss Asmore, as a matter of fact, the one I interviewed last week, we go and have a good time with her family. And her friends, but they're not my friends, they're hers. She's my friend. So I get a chance to meet a lot of different people, and I enjoy doing that. So I'm hoping I can get my show out then. I want to say you can hit me up on SamanthaPlace.net. I am still working on the website. You can go visit it. You can look it around, but I'm still working on it. I'm trying to take it in a different direction, but I am going to get it done because it's one of the things I said I was going to get done before the end of the year. There's going to be more coming out this year coming up. I'm going to be much more active because I'm getting ready to try another venture. I'm always trying something different, and I'm praying that it be successful with it. And I might be able to quit my job and do it full time, but I'm just going to take it slow. But that is my it's not a New Year's resolution or anything. It's something I want to do. You can catch me at sensible64@yahoo.com. Email me anytime you want. I will be emailing you back. I'm trying to figure out what else have I forgotten to tell you. I want to say again, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all that are not able to listen to my show, that won't be able to listen to my show. I hope you've gotten all your Christmas shopping out the way. And I want to say you guys have a great evening. I'm getting ready to sign off. And I will catch you guys later. This has been Blog Talk Radio, Chocolate Lady 64, and I'm sounding off. Bye.